So today we're going to start a new series. We're going to go through the first part of the book of Daniel. And the title of the series is Courageous. And so when you think of courage, what does it mean to you to be courageous? Think through that for a second. It can mean being brave. It could be daring. It could be strong, bold, gutsy, spirited, audacious, dauntless, fearless. And as followers of Christ, we can share in those characteristics, and we are called to share in those characteristics when it comes to our faith. We are called to be courageous. A mother was preparing pancakes for her sons Jack, who was 5, and Ryan, who was 3. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. If Jesus were sitting here, he would say, "Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait." Jack, the older one, turned to his younger brother and said, "Ryan, you be Jesus." When it comes to actually obeying Jesus and doing what Jesus has called us to do, many of us struggle. But as to be a courageous Christ follower, we must obey God, and today's theme is obedience. To be a courageous Christ follower, we must obey God. We're going to begin this morning in Daniel chapter 1. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, it's page 1331, if you have one of those Bibles underneath the chair in front of you. There should be a couple there if you don't have one. But Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to begin at the beginning in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. So the first thing we see here is not a pretty picture for the Israelites. Nebuchadnezzar acted, and he took this first siege. This was first of 3 sieges on Jerusalem. But notice that Daniel reminds us that though we see Nebuchadnezzar acting, God also has a part in this. Nebuchadnezzar was not able to do anything that God didn't allow Nebuchadnezzar to do. Now this took place probably in 605 BC, and it was the first of 3 major invasions by Babylon into the Israelite camp. The final came in 587 BC, when all the people were taken into captivity. In this instance, here in 605, only some of the people were deported. The temple was looted, and it appeared, from all outside circumstances, that the God of the Israelites had been defeated by the pagan gods of Babylon. Now this was all in what the Babylonians were doing. In this expansionist period of their history, they were going and conquering as many nations as they could. But remember that God ultimately is the one who allowed this to take place. This is to fulfill the promise that God made to Moses. And here's a couple of verses put together from Deuteronomy that will be up on the screen for you. "Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart, for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar. They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls, in which you trust, come down. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God." The people had turned away from God. They had ignored the laws of God. They had ignored the laws of the land, the laws that God had spelled out to them before Moses, when Moses gave them the law. And Moses says, reciting the words of the Lord, if you turn away from this, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be taken into exile. You're going to be ruled over by another country, by another nation. And this is what's happening. This is the first wave of that happening to Judah. Let's pick up in verse 3 in Daniel. "Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. So someone like me, right? Ha ha ha. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. So it was common when the Babylonians attacked and took over a land that they would take into service for the king the best and the brightest that they could find. King Nebuchadnezzar didn't care where they came from, as long as he could use them for his good, for his service. And so they put them into this king's royal academy, if you will, so that they could be trained and taught. They were to be fed the best of the kingdom, the best food and the wine that they could have right from the king's table. We don't know how many boys this would have included coming from Israel, but we know that they would have probably been between 12 and 15 years of age at this point, being called into the king's service. Verse 6 says, among them were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel the name of Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now think about your name for a minute. Your name is your name, right? Whether you like it or not, and maybe as a kid you didn't like it. I know a couple people that go by different names or whatever. But that's your name. That is your identity. Love it or hate it, no matter what happens in life, no one can take away your name. That signifies who you are. Now, I did a little research, and in the Witness Protection Program, they often have to change their name when they go to a new place. And they said that when they come up with a new family name, that's one of the hardest transitions that they make. Learning how to sign a new name, learning how to respond to a new name. And it's a very difficult thing when you think about changing your name. I mean, think if you had to, right now, whatever age you're at, someone said, your new name is this. And that's it. That's the end of story. That would break you to a certain point. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to break them. And in reality, he's taking away these names and trying to give them a Babylonian identity. Now, Daniel's name originally meant, my judge is God. Hananiah's name meant, Yahweh has shown grace. Mishael's name meant, who is what God is. And Azariah means, Yahweh has helped. Their new names, though we don't know exactly what all of them meant, all had to do with pagan gods. So if you see on there, all of them have to do with Yahweh or with God. And the new names all had to do with pagan gods, pagan deities. He's clearly chipping away at God and saying, you don't need God anymore. Your new identity is in Babylon. And your new identity is with these other gods, not Yahweh. Turn your back on Yahweh. So it's clearly not their choice to take on the new names. It's clearly a way to coerce them and to start brainwashing them a little bit, trying to get them to follow the gods of Babylon. Verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. So here we have the first pushback against the ways of Babylon from Daniel. And remember, a courageous Christ follower does what? Obeys God. Daniel knew that this food was not food that he was supposed to be eating. There's a little discrepancy on whether, we don't know if it was food sacrificed to idols, we don't know if it was just because it was a lavish lifestyle. We're not sure exactly why he wasn't allowed to eat it, but he knew that it was against God's command. It was against what God had told him was clean food to eat. So this food was unclean, and Daniel had a choice to make. He could either eat the food like the other boys were, or he could obey God and take a stand for what's right. So the first thing that he does is he resolves it first in his mind. When we take a stand for Christ, when we obey God, we have to first resolve to do it in our minds before we can do it. He made the choice, and then he continued to make that conscious choice to be obedient to God. The first place that we battle sin is in our mind. We have to make a choice. Now notice that Daniel was wise in how he did this. He didn't demand, he didn't start a protest. He asked. And even in the asking, he was risking his very life. He was risking at least being kicked out of the program, possibly being punished, and possibly being put to death, just for asking and going against what the man's rule was. Picking up in verse 9. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. So it's important to note that first, the official showed favor and sympathy to Daniel. The word, Hebrew word, is hesed, which means love. He had strong affections for him. So Daniel's attitude before this was a positive one. He was doing as he was told. He wasn't being a rabble-rouser. The guard knew that Daniel was doing this because he had deep convictions, not because he wanted to stir up trouble. Daniel is maybe a model student in this kingdom academy, this king's academy. But he understands that God has a plan for him, and he understands that he cannot go against God. He has to obey God. So he asks the official for a simple test, and the official agrees to the test. Now this is a huge step of faith for Daniel. He doesn't know for sure how this is going to end up. And the official certainly doesn't know how this is going to end up. At the end of 10 days, they could be nothing, and then get into big trouble with the king. Daniel would be in a world of hurt if this didn't work, as would the official. And then he would be forced to eat the king's food, or he would be kicked out of the program, or he would be punished, or he would be killed. But Daniel knew that he had to be courageous and obey God. Let's see how it turned out in verse 15. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. So the test works, and Daniel's obedience to God is rewarded with God's blessing. They look better than they did before. Now, praise the Lord, this does not mean we all have to be vegetarians. I checked this out. We can keep our beef, okay? All right? But this was a special circumstance, and Daniel knew that he had to stand up for truth, stand up for what was obedient, what was going to be obedient to God. Verse 17, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. God continues to show him his special blessing. In response to their obedience, God has given them these special knowledge and understanding and the ability to understand dreams and visions. Verse 18, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. So the time of training has come to an end. The king presents them with their final examination, and to his surprise, he finds these four friends from Israel to be not better than the people in his kingdom, not five times better, but 10 times better than anyone else in the kingdom. God has blessed Daniel, and God has blessed Daniel's friends with this special knowledge and this favor from the Lord, and they are being rewarded for it by the king. Now at this point, remember, Daniel hasn't seen the future here. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't know that the fiery furnace is coming. They don't know that the lion's den is coming. This is just the first test. But they set themselves up for future successes in those future challenges that they're going to face by learning to trust God early and by obeying God when it counts. I'm not sure that they would have had the courage to stand up to some of those later challenges if they had failed in this first challenge. Who knows if God would have even blessed them the way that he chose to bless them if they hadn't obeyed and they hadn't accepted this first challenge and passed. But no matter how big or how small the circumstance, they chose to obey and to be obedient. And that's what is crucial for Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. In verse 21 it says, "And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus." That means Daniel served in the king's court for about 65 years, with a brief retirement for a time during the reign of Belshazzar. But because Daniel was obedient to God, he was taken from prisoner, from exile, and given an important and prominent position under the king. And what started his rise to this position? What started it? Say it louder. Obedience. Obedience. He refused to compromise when what would the easy thing have been to do at that point? Well, this food looks pretty good. Everybody else is eating it. No one else is standing up against the king. No one's really going to be like, "Oh, you shouldn't be eating that. It looks really good. Maybe there was some chocolate on that buffet." I don't know if I could have done that. But he refused to compromise. He chose to go against his captors, against his fellow exiles who were going along with the plan, and he chose to rock the boat. This confidence that Daniel had in God was shown way back in verse 2 when he acknowledges, as he's writing this, Daniel is the author of the book of Daniel, when he's writing this, even up in verse 2, he says that God is really the one in control. He recognizes that God is the one in control, and he recognizes that God has allowed his people to be taken into exile, and that ultimately God has a plan. He knew this at the national level, as far as the nation of Israel, but he also knew this on a personal level. He knew that God was not going to abandon him when he was obedient to the Lord. Now, have you ever been in a position where you thought, "Oh, holy Batman, how did I get here? How did the Lord let me get here?" You've gone through trials at work. You've gone through trials in your marriage. You've gone through trials with your family. And you look at your life and you wonder, did God take a vacation day? How did I get here? How did God allow me to be here? You wonder, how on earth has the bad won in my life? Maybe you wonder, what did I do to deserve this? Well, God has not left you. God has not gone on vacation. He's allowing things to happen in your life for a reason. And the way to overcome the adversity in life is to be obedient to God, no matter the cost. No matter what the world is telling you to do, no matter what your therapist may be telling you to do, no matter what Oprah is telling you to do, no matter what Dr. Phil is telling you to do, we have to be obedient to what God is telling us to do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We have to be obedient. Courageous Christ followers obey God. If you want to live a life of valor, a life of courage, you have to obey God. And you have to obey God in the little stuff. Because if you're not faithful in the little stuff, how are you ever going to face the fiery furnace? How are you ever going to face the lion's den? Every decision we make, it is crucial that we are being obedient to God in the little things so that we can trust Him in the big things. Daniel didn't know how this was all going to turn out. He had faith in God that he was going to be obedient. If you're in a situation where you're being asked to do something against God's laws, maybe you're being pressured to gossip or to turn on someone at work or to do whatever it may be, you need to take a stand and do what is right, because God is calling us to obedience, and God is going to take care of you and reward you. It may not seem that way in the short term, but in the long term, your obedience will be rewarded. Now, you need to handle it respectfully like Daniel did, but you need to obey, primarily obey God. God is our final judge. We need to obey Him first and foremost in every area of our life. Friends, if there's an area of your life that you're not being obedient to God, I pray today that you will choose to submit that area to Him right now and choose to obey whatever it is, whatever God is calling you to do, whatever situation you're in. You have to choose to obey. That's how you live a courageous life. That's how you become a man or woman of valor, when you are obedient to God. Will you pray with me? God, you know what we're going through in our lives. You know the hardships that we're facing. You know every need that we have that is represented in this room by the life that you've given. I pray, Father, that we will take a stand when we need to take a stand, and take a seat when we need to take a seat. Give us guidance and direction and wisdom, and help us to courageously choose to follow you. Help us to be faithful in the little things, God, so that we can continue to build our trust in you. We know that you are faithful, God, and we put you to the test over and over again, and you prove yourself to be faithful every time. I pray that you will encourage us, strengthen us in our resolve, and help us all to live lives of obedience, to live the life that you have called us to be living. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.